Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Marina's still slacking on vacation. What I don't understand is, how is it that I own all the companies, all the shows, all the broadcasts, and I don't get no time off, yet she's the supervisor and producer, and she gets this much time off?
Well, we're on a hiatus. That's what happens.
Are we? Are we ever on a hiatus? No, we're back. Listen, shout out to everybody that listens to the Jason Lee Podcast, Jason Lee Show, anything Hollywood Unlocked. You know, we call you the Gag Nation. You are the Gag Nation. We'll always be forever and a day. I feel great. Although I do feel, again, like I'm coming down with a cold. I'm not anemic. All my blood work's back, so we know that nobody that popped in for a weekend has done anything negative to me. I'm great. And I just want to say to everybody here, thank you so much for coming back. And I want to say, I know the last 10 months, I have not seemed like the Jason Lee you know, because I am in a campaign and I don't want to scare them people. I have to be tempered and measured and strategic and smart about how I approach the upcoming election. As you all know, I ran for Stockton City Council. I moved back home, running for that thing, and I am putting in the work, and we have been working our ass off. It is literally 60-something days left until Election Day on November 5th. Ballots come out October 1st, so if you're in Stockton area and you're in my district 6, the South Side, Western Ranch area, make sure you're registered to vote and that you get your ballots. Get your friends, family, everybody from 18 on up. Make sure you get it, because this is a landmark time for all of us. This is going to be a very transformative experience for the city. You're finally going to have somebody there who's not afraid of these. And when I tell you the way I'm going to be holding people accountable, I have been dragging folks at the city hall every day at city council every Tuesday that they have these meetings, because I feel up until election day, if I'm not going to be on the dais, I'm going to be there still holding them accountable. Well, recently I discovered that in my quest to get them to offer translation services for the Latinos who make up 45% of the community, they decided to go ahead and approve it. But 8 months later, after having one of their own employees do translation, but in order to get translation, if you're Mexican or Latino, you got to fill out a green card. That really happened. Well, I went down there and had a lot to say. And even though they didn't give me all the time I needed to do, let me just give you a quick snapshot into Jason Lee as an advocate before Jason Lee becomes the city councilman. Take a look. I looked on this sheet here. It says Espanol, which means that you now provide translation services. We've been fighting for that for 8 months. And so all the proclamations you give, Luis Magana, the farm worker who actually asked me to start the advocacy because they are spraying them with pesticide and there's no way for them to come up here and ask for help, he should be acknowledged for that effort. And shout out to this city employee who now has a second job by providing the translation. But I would also like to say, as the Asian Chamber of Commerce president was in the room, you have other populations in this community that don't speak English as a first language, so you need to add more languages to this green card, provide more services, and get this man some help, because he don't need to do two jobs for one check. You saw the clips I posted online. Do you think they're ready yet?
I think that if they're not ready, they better get ready. And that the biggest takeaway from this for me is, like, people need to realize when they go to vote, don't just vote for the president and the vice president. They got to vote down that ballot for people like you who are actually making the change for the things that affect them day to day. And they don't think about that, because you in there doing the work, holding them accountable, calling them out for the stuff they haven't done. It's crazy.
If you don't think that your DA is doing enough to keep your street safe, you got to vote in the right person. If you don't think your judges are doing a good job, you got to vote in the right people. If you don't like your city council, your mayor, whatever, you have to get active. And what I've shown for sure is that in the city of Stockton, and those of you all over the country who are watching me, you have the power to actually change and transform your communities into the communities that you want. But you have to get active. And back to my original point, that the last 10 months has been this campaign, which is why I have not done as many podcasts going all the way into what I feel. But I am telling you right now, like a drug addict at AA, keep coming back, because it's going to work. After November 5th, I will be back full time in the seat here and at the Jason Lee Show, bring you the hottest interviews to keep the internet busy. And we have a new partner that I'll be introducing soon. And baby, are you excited about that?
I am. It's going
to
be dope.
I go to Rob every day with ideas of what I want to do. Some of them are so ratchet. He's like, you can't do that right now because you're running for city council. And I have no ambitions to be the governor or senator or congressman or any of that. I love the fact that I am going to be the little old city councilman from Stockton, California, but I'm going to have lots of impact because the title doesn't drive leadership. In fact, I want to give a big shout out to Ben Crump, who was one of our recipients at this year's Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards that aired over on the Zeus Network. If you haven't seen it, go take a look. He just recently endorsed me for my city council run. Take a look.
I'm civil rights attorney Ben Crump, and I am coming to you today to proudly endorse my good friend, my brother, the one and only Jason Lee. I can think of nobody better to help lead the city of Stockton, California than Jason Lee. So make sure you all go out and vote to give Jason a seat at the table to fight even harder for you, Stockton.
All right, and so listen, even though I ain't won yet, let's go ahead and have our victory party. And remember, those flowers were brought to me by me. Because if nobody's going to give you your flowers, baby, don't wait. Give them to yourself. All right. There's a lot to talk about today. One thing I have to tell you is that I think a lot of people must be taking my kindness for weakness. They must be thinking that because I'm running for city council that I have changed. I have not changed. My daytime job is my daytime job. Hey, Stockton, everybody watching. Yes, this is my daytime job. And even though people think that I have changed, I'm now going to show people after November 5th that I haven't fully changed because I have a day job and I do it quite well. But like I said, I'm being tempered and measured. But don't let my kindness be seen as a weakness, because there have been people playing on my time in these social media streets and I have not responded because I am waiting until I get through this election, but I will spin the block. First up has been, I was made aware that Josie Budden had a lot to say on the Joe Budden podcast. You know,
Go ahead.
What?
Oh, God. Okay.
What? Because every time I turn around, she got something slick to say. I'll be back on November 6th. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, take a look.
Double chin. Knock it off. You know how much weight I lost? Don't play with me. Don't let these Instagram cameras fool you. I'm three sizes down in the weight. What waist? Fuck y'all talking about? I'll see it in the face. I'm slim in the face. Stop playing with me. And it's no old Zimpit. I ain't dumb. Stop playing. It's discipline. A few dietary changes. The fuck they talking about? Yeah. I ain't sticking nothing in my arm. Yeah, what's up? And there's two scales in here right now. Say something else. The fuck is y'all talking to? Respect me in this piece at all times. Miss Hill, and don't fucking touch my hand again, Jason Lee.
She heard that Phil. She heard that.
Yo, Jason Lee and Black. Come on, right, I'm about to be messy today. I'm going to be messy a little bit. Yeah, it's a Friday. Yeah.
Hey, yo, we turning up today, y'all. Prepare yourselves. Get your ears ready.
Drop the at midnight. What's up? Y'all want to do a bleepless pod? What up? What up? Who tough for real in here? Yeah, I know. Who tough for real in here?
I bet you get bleeped first.
Who y'all talking to? I ain't y'all. Oh, well,
hey, yo, this is new trick. He
that's because I talk and put my nuts on the. All right, hit record. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, Josie, I'll see you soon. Then, Amanda Seals, friend of the show. I thought we were cool. You're upset and taking no responsibility, all because I questioned her self-diagnosis of autism. That's a thing. Well, she recently had something to say, and I caught wind of it. Take a look.
About me, capitalism never cared about me, and you know, sure as hell, this slave owning forefathers America has never cared about me. Mm-hmm. So that has always been something that mattered to me. Like, of course, everybody wants to be useful. Nobody wants to be used. So when I look at people like D.L. Hughley, like Ricky Smiley, people like Yvette Nicole Brown, like Jason Lee, etc., and I see them so casually mention my name in a demeaning context that discredits me, I say to myself, they must not see me as a human. Wow. They're just seeing my commentary. Like, these are people who have actually met me, who have my phone number, who in some cases have been to my home, people who I have praised, I've paid reverence to, who I've sought guidance from, who I've heralded outside of their presence. They are able to access me for clarity. and invite me into their space to say, hey, like, can you speak to this more? And instead of doing so, they've chosen to simply use me. And I believe it's because they've disconnected from their humanity. And there are so many cases where one can say, like, clearly this person is emotional right now, so let's not judge them. Let's give them an opportunity to clarify once they've calmed down, right?
Right.
That's something that they have chosen not to do. And that's being human, is to do that. And I know that there have been so many times where I have been guilty of the same and failed to be that for other people. And unfortunately, it has taken me not being treated that way with that type of simple, like, basic human regard to see just how harmful it is to continue this practice, even though it's really become the norm. But I ain't never been the norm. And I do not want to be this kind of normal. I don't want to be like Ricky Smiley and Yvette Nicole Brown and DL Hughley and Jason Lee and the rest of you people who see this as a valid way of interacting with individuals. Particularly those who, even on a basic level, consistently come forth with positive motives, even if their methods may seem unclear. So I wanted to make this statement because I want that from this day.
I'll come back after Kamala Harris is elected and we'll have a conversation then. But until then, take your meds. All right, it's time for the tea. What? It's time for tea with Jason Lee. I take my mental health and mental health very seriously. That's why I'm in therapy. That's why I get my blood checked regularly to make sure that I'm healthy and that all my organs, including my brain, the one that those two haven't used frequently, is working. And I know for sure that when you are on your way to greatness, that the devil will send somebody, an agent, to try to knock you off your block. Won't allow it, because my purpose is a lot higher than that. But I want to tell everybody out there that the Jason Lee that you can count on, He ain't gone away. He just on a break right now. All right. Anyway, speaking of a break, I can't wait to get a break from the politics, because this one right here is driving me crazy. Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, and the orange Cheeto in charge, Donald Trump, are back at it again. And I want to give you guys an update, because both the RNC and the DNC have had their thing, and we have watched them. Did you watch both?
I did.
What did you think?
I thought one was, you know, politics as usual. And the other one was like high energy, really youthful. And I don't see why everybody has such a problem with it.
Yeah. You know, Donald Trump has, I think he is going into crisis mode, because Kamala has snatched all of the attention online. Now she's just sat down for her first interview with Tim Walz, the person that she has running as her running mate for vice president. After the recent Democratic National Convention, Kamala Harris has everybody, including me and Robin, everybody, shouting, we ain't going back. And Donald Trump has been shaking in his horseback boots, resulting in his continued personal attacks against his opponent. Now, like his claim that the Black and Indian vice president just turned Black. Well, to that crazy claim, here's how Harris responded in her first candidate interview with CNN. Listen.
I want to ask you about your opponent, Donald Trump. I was a little bit surprised. People might be surprised to hear that you have never interacted with him, met him face to face. That's going to change soon. But what I want to ask you about is what he said last month. He suggested that you happened to turn Black recently for political purposes, questioning a core part of your identity.
Yeah. Any same old tired playbook. Next question, please.
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Well, if you remember, Donald Trump was one of the people, if not the only person, who was doing the whole birther movement during the Obama administration, where he said that Barack Hussein Obama, he likes to call his middle name out in order to make you believe that he's a terrorist. That's how he gaslights hate and racism. He's the one that was responsible for the whole birther movement, and claiming that Barack Obama was non-American. And then Barack Obama later went on to provide his birth certificate to hush the noise, because he had fanned flames of racism, questioning Barack Obama's Blackness. And people of color like me, especially somebody who's mixed, it is the playbook. I am defending my Blackness all the time to some of you and to others. And Black people always have to defend where they come from, who they related to, bloodline, how black are we? We black, black, no cookout, but cookout. It never stops. And I'm sure as somebody who's biracial like Kamala, she's had that experience her whole life. But she also knows that that has been the Republican playbook over the last several years. Harris also addressed the border crisis and blamed Trump for killing off a bipartisan bill in order to address the need that everybody in the world has been asking for as it relates to strengthening America's borders. Take a listen.
During the Biden-Harris administration, there were record numbers of illegal border crossings. Why did the Biden-Harris administration wait 3.5 years to implement sweeping asylum restrictions?
Well, first of all, the root causes work that I did as vice president that I was asked to do by the president has actually resulted in a number of benefits, including historic investments by American businesses in that region. The number of immigrants coming from that region has actually reduced since we began that work. But I will say this, that Joe Biden and I and our administration worked with members of the United States Congress on an immigration issue that is very significant to the American people and to our security, which is the border. And through bipartisan work, including some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress, a bill was crafted, which we supported, which I support. And Donald Trump got word of this bill that would have contributed to securing our border. And because he believes that it would not have helped him politically, he told his folks in Congress, don't put it forward. He killed the bill. A border security bill that would have put 1,500 more agents on the border. And let me tell you something, the Border Patrol endorsed the bill. And I'm sure in large part because they knew they were working around the clock and 1,500 more agents would help them. That bill would have allowed us to increase seizures of fentanyl. Ask any community in America that has been devastated by fentanyl what passing that bill would have done to address their concern and a pain that they've experienced.
So you would push that legislation again. I just want
to
ask about...
Not only push it, I will make sure that it comes to my desk and I would sign it. I believe there should be consequence. We have laws that have to be followed and enforced that address and deal with people who cross our border illegally, and there should be consequence. And let's be clear, in this race, I'm the only person who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations who traffic in guns, drugs, and human beings. I'm the only person in this race who actually served a border state as attorney general to enforce our laws, and I would enforce our laws as president going forward. I recognize the problem.
Generally speaking, how should voters look at some of the changes that you've made, that you've explained some of here in your policy? Is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democratic primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act. We have set goals for the United States of America and, by extension, the globe around when we should meet certain standards for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, as an example. That value has not changed. My value around what we need to do to secure our border, that value has not changed. I spent 2 terms as the Attorney General of California prosecuting transnational criminal organizations, violations of American laws regarding the passage, illegal passage of guns, drugs, and human beings across our border. My values have not changed. So that is the reality of it. And 4 years of being vice president, I'll tell you one of the aspects to your point is traveling the country extensively. I mean, I'm here in Georgia. I think somebody told me 17 times since I've been vice president in Georgia alone. I believe it is important to build consensus, and it is important to find a common place of understanding of where we can actually solve problems.
On that note.
Now, listen, you have to watch this and listen. I like to watch a person's body language as they're talking. I think Kamala did a very good job of staying safe and staying on message. I think she talked a little too much on fracking. I didn't know what fracking was. I'm learning about fracking. And the thing I think people forget is that when you're running for president, you're not just running for the group that reacts like that, that you connect with, mm-hmm. like the issues that you connect with. She has to hit all issues, economy, immigration, you know, climate, environment. And so she did a really good job of addressing a lot of things. She's also having to defend a record that was not controlled by her because she was on the Biden-Harris administration, meaning she had to serve at the will of the president or at the request of the president. And so anyway, she did her best to do that. And I know that she's going to probably come through a lot stronger than her interview at the debate because she is a trial lawyer. I mean, she's a lawyer. Well, anyway, Trump is running around claiming he's beating Harris in the polls. Not the polls that I've seen, but nonetheless, maybe it's a poll he created. This is what he said. Or look, it's always fake with Kamala. We're dominating her on social media, so she makes up a fake list of her numbers versus my numbers. All of our engagement is real and organic. While Kamala has to pay for her fake engagement, we're beating her like a drum, like we will beat her on November 5th. It's all fake. It's all misinformation and disinformation. We are destroying the Democrats on social media. Social media doesn't vote, Donnie. we have to care about the polls. What do you think about his reaction to her?
It's like a popularity contest. And that's why it's so infuriating to me when I see people responding to these things on social media. And they're like, oh, well, we don't hear about policies, when she actually keeps talking about policy. And he only talks about grievances and who won at a crowd size or who won at social media numbers or who won. He's infatuated with this idea of being better than her and not about what he can do to fix the country. So it's crazy to me.
I've never heard one policy idea from him.
None.
At all. It's like a reality show commentary every time he pops up. By the way, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama at the DNC.
Amazing.
I am a fanboy for two people, and that is the Obamas. Yeah, I thought Barack and Michelle did a great job. And that would trigger that was you saying the size of polls or social media. Barack said that he was obsessed with crowd sizes in a mic dropping shady shot. Mm-hmm. Barack and Michelle didn't hung around some gays.
Oh,
right.
You know they love it. I could tell that. You know,
Michelle Obama began her hair done. I know she'd be in there talking crazy. Well, after the RNC and the DNC, the next major event for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris is their highly anticipated debate, officially confirmed for September 10th on ABC News. Now, after months of playing cat and mouse, Trump confirmed things on Truth Social. Take a look. I'm not reading all that, but he basically said he's reached an agreement with the radical left Democrats for a debate with camaraderie. I don't know. Any chance he can to attack a woman or attack anybody, disabled, veteran, he will do it. You know, the thing about it, Trump, that's not going to work for you is you attacking a black woman, just in women in general, when you just were found guilty of 34 charges. It's not really going to work in your favor. I don't know what you're thinking, but then again, maybe he's not. Is that narcissism?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, when you don't have anything substantive to talk about, like he doesn't have any policy conversation to have. So only thing he can go to is attacking her on her looks. Oh, I look better than her. I'm more attractive than her. Like he has nothing else to talk about.
CNN added that for the debate, microphones will be muted as the other candidate speaks. There will be no written notes allowed and there won't be a studio audience. So that means... this is kind of like a setup.
Yeah.
Because somebody who cannot control themselves, who's not disciplined, who's not structured enough to deliver a message, to stay on message, and to deliver it right at the... Like, if you watch my city council meeting, I know I have 2 minutes to talk. I know I have to form a thought and execute it in 2 minutes. I end right when that buzzer goes off. He's not that thoughtful. And on top of that, without any notes and any preparation, you're going against... trial lawyer who's been doing this for you. It's a setup, but a good one nonetheless. And I will be there September 10th at ABC watching. Now, in addition to the upcoming debate, Trump also has to prep for his next court hearing, A day after confirming the debate, he was hit with another indictment in his federal election interference case for the January 6th Capitol riot. Remember, that's when all the people that don't look like us were climbing up the federal building, trying to get in and hang the vice president and overthrow the government in the election. A federal grand jury issued a new indictment that mirrors the four charges from the initial indictment filed last August. Now, charges include conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an official proceeding, attempts to obstruct, as well as conspiracy against rights. And the latest indictment arrives after the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity last month, which prevented the government from incorporating specific official acts performed by Trump during his presidency into the prosecution. Now, Trump, of course, responded and said this: "For them to do this immediately after our Supreme Court victory on immunity and more is shocking. I've also been informed by my attorneys that you're not allowed to even bring cases literally right before an election, a direct assault on democracy. This is an unprecedented abuse of the criminal justice system. The case has to do with conspiracy to obstruct the 2020 presidential election when they are the ones that did the obstructing of the election, not me. They cheated on the election and they go after me for cheating on the election." Is somebody reading his stuff?
No. You know he is not allowing that to happen.
I posted on my Facebook that I'm having campaign fatigue. I'm also having politics fatigue in general. I want it to go away.
Just end. Ugh.
Yeah, bye. But please register to vote, people. And this, please rewind all of that last part and watch it all again and think about the type of world you want to live in. I want to wake up every day and hear from our elected leaders what they're doing to make the economy stronger, to end this inflation that's out of control, to bring better jobs for working class people, and also create pathways for people who want to become entrepreneurs or support for those who are entrepreneurs to become stronger so that way we can thrive in this horrible economy. California, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to break up with you. If I wasn't running for city council, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to win. But if I was to lose, I will leave California. I will leave California. I'm not going to lose, but if I was to lose, if Kim Wormsley went and stole all the voting boxes and somehow stole the election like the Republicans tried to do in 2020, I will move out of California. I am breaking up with you. These tax prices are insane. Gas prices are insane. Everything in this state is crazy, but the weather, and even that ain't enough to stay here. I have a pool in this house and down go to in Stockton. Now I got to build a pool there because I need to be able to go in the water. I'm over California, but this is why we have to have people who get involved. You know, the power company in Stockton called PG&E, they're throughout the state. Stay tuned. They hit this one woman back in Stockton with a $1,690 electricity bill. How is somebody with just a working class family supposed to afford that?
That's crazy.
And if you do 1690 times 12, you're paying $20,000 a year.
That was her bill for the month?
Just for the month. Can you imagine that?
Ugh.
I'm rich and I don't want to pay that. So we have to have our elected officials bring these people before, you know, the hearings and hold them accountable so that way people aren't priced out of their homes. You know, when you see homeless people, you do realize it's not people that either want to be on the streets or on drugs. Some people have severe mental health issues, and some people also can't afford to keep up with the world right now. It is insane. And in fact, as much as I pay at Hollywood a lot, every time I turn around, people are like, I ain't making enough money. Yes, the hell you are, because I know what I'm paying. And this be the main one right here, and I know what I'm paying him. I know.
Well, listen.
Keep on praying for healthcare a lot. All right. Mariah Carey, she's in the news. Oh, I sent you flowers today, Mariah, hoping that you're okay. But she lost her sister and her mother on the same day, and she's dealing with this double heartbreak out of nowhere. Because to lose a mother and a sister on the same day has to be a lot. Now, to make things even more tragic, Mariah had a rocky relationship with her mother and her sister, who she previously accused of abuse. She had a whole beautiful memoir. Did I get you a copy of her book or no?
No.
I have her book. You know, she has an amazing book. What's it called, Rob?
The Meaning of Mariah Carey.
The Meaning of Mariah Carey, where she talks about her journey as a mixed race person. I have had my own, which is one thing I identified with. And I remember texting her saying, this was the first time I had ever really identified with the explanation of what I had experienced, where I love being black, but to black people, sometimes I'm not black enough. And then to white people, I'm not white. So I've always had this weird interaction where I love all people, but I identify strongly with being a black man in this world. Well, Mariah Carey's book covers that among many things. The other thing she covered was her abusive relationship with her mom and her older sister. Now her older sister, this is a picture of them during happier times. Take a look. They were almost like twins, if you see them. Now here's a picture of Mariah with her mother, Carey, her mother, Patricia Carey, in happier times. I could see mom in her too, mm-hmm. right? Well, in her 2020 memoir, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, the singer spoke out about her pretty complicated relationship with her often neglectful mother, and here's what she had to say. Carey described her relationship with her mother as a prickly rope of pride, pain, shame, gratitude, jealousy, admiration, disappointment. She also said, like many aspects of my life, my journey with my mother has been full of contradictions and competing realities. It's never been only black or white or black and white. It's been a whole rainbow of emotions. She added, a complicated love tethers my heart to my mother's. Mm-hmm. Now, despite their rocky relationship, Mariah and Patricia maintained their bond, and she even dedicated part of her memoir to her, acknowledging that her mother did the best that she could and that she would always love her. Now, remember when I talked about my own mom, I said my mom told me when she was dying that she did the best she could at the award show. I don't know if it was this year or last year. Maybe both years. I said my mother, before she died, told me that, you know, she had done the best that she could. And that's when I realized that when people identify their inability to do to rise to your expectation or to do what you would do for them, when they identify that their limitations, you have to, if you love them, just acknowledge whether or not you're able to stay in their life or have them exit your life based on what you need from them or want from them. Well, that sounds like she had a similar issue. I think her mother was a singer. And so her mother was probably competing with her. I mean, your daughter becomes the most amazing vocalist in the world next to Whitney Houston. But also one of the most successful writers and singers in the business with memorable songs that will live on forever. And I'm sure if your career didn't add up to a fraction of that, you would feel some type of way, even if it is your own child. Well, sadly, Mariah and her sister, Allison, were also estranged after falling out in the 90s. Now, we really got to know more in her 2020 memoir when Mariah alleged that Allison once drugged her and then tried to sell her to a pimp at just 12 years old. Now, Allison, for those of you that don't know, she also had a severe, I believe, drug addiction, and she was HIV positive or had AIDS and then was trying to extort Mariah years ago, where she wanted Mariah to give her money and take care of her and try to publicly shame her for not taking care of her whole life, because Mariah's life had Mariah's life turned out to be pretty successful, whereas the other one panned out to be, you know, not. Well, while writing about Allison, Mariah also mentioned their brother, Morgan Carey, who sued her for emotional distress and defamation after labeling him an ex-drug dealer. Here's what she had to say about her brother. Through the years, both my sister and brother have put me on the chopping block, sold lies to any gossip mag or trashy website that would buy or listen. They have attacked me for decades, but when I was 12 years old, my sister drugged me with Valium, offered me a pinky nail full of cocaine, inflicted third-degree burns, and tried to sell me out to a pimp. Man. Now, we're going to get to what Mariah had to say, I'm sure, but Mariah did release a pretty positive statement about passing to both of them. But if you did all this to me, you're not getting a statement.
I mean, it's just like you would never assume that all of that happened to this woman from the way that she carries herself and the life that she leads. So, I mean, I guess she's able to forgive but not forget.
I mean, Mariah's had some public battles. They've made claims of drinking a little too much, mm-hmm. Latent diva behavior, you know, being very difficult. We didn't find Mariah difficult to work with at all.
She's kind, super sweet.
You know, there was that time where she had that meltdown on MTV where, you know, she had the whole, I think she was exhausted or dehydrated, whatever, maybe a combination of both. So she's had her things, and maybe this was a derivative of dealing with this kind of shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like Mariah's rocky relationship with their mother, Allison had one too. She even sued Patricia for allegedly sex abuse, claiming she was forced to perform sex acts on strangers at just 10 years old. and was forced to watch several satanic rituals as a child. Now, Allison claimed that she'd been diagnosed with PTSD and depression and was seeking compensatory damages for her alleged psychological, emotional, and physical abuse. Now, less than a year later, Allison then sued Mariah for $1.25 million for emotional distress over the abuse claims in her memoir, which she said had no evidence to support. And then 3 years later, Mariah has now confirmed to People that, you know, they both have tragically died on the same day. Well, here's a photo of Mariah on her mother and sister's death. My heart is broken that I've lost my mother this past week, and sadly, in a tragic turn of events, my sister lost her life on the same day. I feel blessed that I was able to spend the last week with my mom before she passed. I appreciate everyone's love and support and respect for my privacy during this impossible time. Now, Allison and Patricia's exact causes of death are unknown. That hasn't been released. And although Allison was a former prostitute and recovering drug addict who was diagnosed with HIV in 1990, her close friend and caregiver, Dave Baker, said she didn't pass away from HIV or any cancers. While speaking with the U.S. Sun, he also alleged that Mariah knew her sister was ailing and failed to reach out before her death. Let me tell you something. First of all, mind your business, Dave. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is about her, her sister, and her mother. This ain't got nothing to do with you. It's always people like you, Dave Baker, who want to be famous, who want to be known, who want to be talked about, who want to go out there and say the last dying words of a die. The woman was a drug addict. She was sick, and she, now I ain't sick, just a sick HIV. I ain't going to play on that. But she had some real shit going on, and she was abusive towards Mariah and took full advantage of her and her fame by trying to embarrass her publicly for not taking care of her. Mariah didn't owe her nothing in life, and she don't owe her nothing in death. So the woman had a life, she had choices, and unfortunately hers didn't pan out the way that Mariah's did. And that doesn't mean that Mariah's responsible for anything. She don't owe that woman nothing, and she don't owe you nothing. And so for you to come out here now and try to, again, humiliate, see what you're trying to do is you're trying to do Allison's dirty work. See, Allison did it when she was alive, and now that she's dead, you're trying to do it by embarrassing Mariah by saying she knew her sister was dying and didn't reach out. Well, when you die, she ain't going to reach out for you either. So get out of here. Mariah, our thoughts and prayers are with you. I hope you enjoy the flowers. Goodbye. I hate people who do that. I never really understood that part of fame, that when, you know, like I refuse to accept that I'm famous. I know that I'm known. I know people know who I am. I know there's millions of people watching and listening and whatever. And I know everywhere I go, people know who I am. Mm-hmm. That said, I still feel like fame is like a thing that it's this weird thing. You know, mm-hmm. like people want to be famous. I don't want to be famous. I want to have impact. But I've never thought about the impact that celebrities have when they become famous on how people want to pay all the bills. People think they're rich, so they want to call and tell them all their stories. People want to sleep with them because they're rich or famous or whatever. And then people who come out that you're supposed to trust and love and do shit like that. Do you think Mariah owes her any sympathy?
I mean, I don't think she owes her anything. But like she said, and I think what she said was enough. She spent the last week with her mom and she's at peace with where she is with it. That's all that matters. And everybody wanting to have some specific response from her is crazy. And I'm glad they're not telling us like how they passed away. Like let some stuff just be personal to people. And he needs to mind his business. You know, that's just crazy. She's already in a place of grieving. And now you're adding this on top of it. That's just crazy.
Dave Baker, you are make put Mariah's care. Put the picture back up. Dave, you're a piece of shit. And the reality is you're only using this time to get your name out there. We would never talked about you. You clearly probably have no talent. And think about when your time is up. What do you want to be remembered for? You want to be the guy who tried to drag Mariah Carey while she's grieving? You don't know how she's grieving. You don't know how she's dealing with this. She asked you to respect her privacy at this time, and you disrespect that. So you're just a reflection of the reason why I'm sure her sister said,
"Bitch, you tried it."
Bye. Speaking of trying it, this Kim K double may be infertile. I promise we talk about things at this show that I really don't care about. This woman's fertility in a world where all women's ability to have babies or not and their choice is at risk. I'm going to talk about a woman who wants to look like Kim Kardashian. By the way, this is an ugly picture of you, Kim, and I'm going to blame Johnny for this. Johnny, did you pull this asset? Ariella, I'm blaming Ariella for this ugly picture. You look a little bloated here, but anyway, this is her look-alike. Apparently, she went somewhere and p- pay a lot of money to look like that and didn't do it. Well, social influencers having some medical complications after undergoing cosmetic procedures to look like Kim Kardashian. Now, in April of 2023, we first talked about Jennifer Pamplona and revealed how much money she spent to look just like Kim K. At the time, she was detransitioning after being diagnosed with body dysmorphia in 2022. Hold on. So what is detransition?
Coming back from whatever change you made. Going back to what you were before the change.
Can we just go back to where all this didn't happen? Because, you know, we live in a world now where it is so confusing. It's Do you get all the they, them, he, they, she's, this, that?
Yes, I figured that out.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. I was telling the story the other day where, like, I know there's trans men and trans women. And you know my story about the trans man that I found out about. Yeah, I got to go back and watch all episodes. I ain't about to open that up again. But there's just so much going on in our community right now.
Yeah.
Is it good or bad?
I think it's good, but I think change is difficult. It's a lot, but it's because it's all happening at once, and this movement of acceptance is all happening at once. So everybody is expected to like join in, or they're.
When did the they, them, listen, no shade, and I don't want y'all, please use this as an opportunity to educate me because I'm really asking. When did the they, them, thou art, them, thy movement happen? Like, when did that happen? Because I don't remember ever wanting to be called they, them, though, thou. Like, who created that and why?
I don't know. I would have to.
I need anybody out there who is an expert on they, them, he, she, him, them, thou, they aren't. Please call me. Reach out to me. I want you to come on my podcast and explain to me where thou came from, because thou was in the Bible, they, thy, them and them, and him and she. It's a thing now. It's a thing. And when you don't call them, if you don't call him by them or her by that, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But what if I say, okay, now call me that. If my pronoun now is that, you got to call me that. Right?
No.
So you're going to disrespect my pronouns? Well, no. Anyway, so she detransitioned. So was she becoming a man?
No, she is reversing the surgeries that made her look like Kim Kardashian to herself.
Now she's taking the trans procedural descriptions and applying it to the Kim Kardashian lookalike.
Correct.
So this ain't like Caitlyn going back to Bruce. This is just, I don't want to look like her no more, even though I'm still a her. I'm detransitioning.
I want to look like my original self.
Yes. Is the detransitioning.
Yes.
Here I thought she was putting a penis back on. Well, the former Versace model has now spent over $1 million, over 40 procedures to reverse. Now we're talking about verse. Now you're taking the gay lingo. Well, anyway, here's a photo of Jennifer and Kim Kardashian, just so you can look at them side by side. You look more like, who she look like? Is she giving you Kim Kardashian?
A little bit. A little bit. In the eyes. A little bit.
I don't see it.
The nose is a little more Michael Jackson, but it's giving Kim Kardashian.
I don't see it. And actually, no shade, Kim, you are super beautiful without all that makeup on. I don't even know why you let them dress you up like a drag queen and put you out there in the streets looking like this. You look like you just fell in a puddle of shit. But when you see Kim up front, up close and personal, that girl is really beautiful. Skin is skinning. She's super smart. I kind of miss being cool with the Kardashians. I don't think it's ever going to happen again because
never say never.
Well, we never thought Bruce would go over there and become Caitlyn. She did that. Well, Jennifer started undergoing plastic surgery at the age of 17. Now, here's a few for her Kim K look like. She had 25 buttock procedures, fat implants, and removals. She had two surgeries to remove 8 ribs. She had 2 breast implants, 2 rhinoplasties, 2 liposuctions, cheek fillers, lip fillers, veneers, fat injection to thighs, cheek fillers removed, facelift, and face buccal lift. Who dated you when you went through all that? I can tell you right now, if you come home and you start looking like a whole bunch of different people and you got all these bandages where when you put your face down, it looked like an episode of Grey's Anatomy on my pillows, I'm sorry. Then you can't get hit from the back because the butt hurt. Then you can't sit on your back, so you ain't working. Then you're walking around with all of these lifts, tucks, flux, and fucks. It's too much. I'm telling you right now, I'm okay with you getting a little lipo here, there, a little lift or whatever. But, well, actually, no, I'm not, because I don't fuck with girls. But you know what I mean? Like, if I had a guy, if I had a guy that he for what, it, nah, I'm not dating a guy that has to do anything. I'm sorry, come perfectly packaged.
What?
I might get some tucks and lifts and all that, but I'm 47 years old. I've lived a life.
Oh my God.
You would date somebody that did all this?
Not all that, but if somebody had to get a little something, I'd be like, okay.
You're only saying that because you want to get the fat sucked out your stomach.
I do, only because it's scar tissue.
Yeah, but you'd be on your stomach anyway, so it don't matter. Well, when we talked about Jennifer last year, she was in the process of verdict. By the way, I don't think Rob needs to get it, but it's his body, his choice. And I don't want to offend them about they procedures. Because that will be mad.
Oh, God.
Actually, I'm that. When we talked about Jennifer last year, she was in the process of reverting back to her natural self. Now, she claimed that all the attention started to completely overshadow her other qualities. Here's what she had to say. People would call me a Kardashian, and it started to get annoying. Wait a minute. Before I read this nonsense, you did all of that. Put her procedures back up real quick. You went through 25 butt procedures, 2 surgeries to remove 8 ribs, 2 breast implants, 2 rhinoplasties, 2 liposuctions, cheek fillers, lip fillers, veneers, fat injection to the thighs, cheek fillers removed, facelift and face buckle lift. And you're telling me that you're annoyed because people keep calling you. Put the statement back up. People would call me a Kardashian and started to get annoying. I had worked and studied like I was a businesswoman. I had done all these things and had all these achievements in my personal life, but I was only being recognized because I looked like a Kardashian. The best feeling is knowing I'm not in a fight with myself anymore. I am now what I wanted to be, and I really now understand the meaning of life. I feel like I can help a lot of people with my life story, but my face is beautiful, and now I look even more beautiful. But you sound like a fool. And I don't care what doctors you used, Paloma, Pamplona, you're never going to be able to fix that ticky-ticky boom-boom. Because...
Bling, bling, bling. Bitches is mad.
But that's what you pay to look like. You pay to look like her, and now you're upset that the doctors did their job. That's like paying to go to Chick-fil-A to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And then eating too many of them and getting fat. You quit going to Chick-fil-A. But either way, now you're trying to detransition your body, but you can't what? She can't detransition her mind. Now, you're only 31 years old. You know you don't age like we do, first of all. So you know this 31 is going to turn into 51 real fast, Jennifer. And now she's facing serious consequences from these surgeries, and doctors tell her that she has a low chance of conceiving a baby due to complications from butt fillers. Here's what Jennifer had to say about her costly surgeries. I'm not reading all that. She dreamed of being a mom. She sees that dream being destroyed. The suffering is a lot. She knew she had a problem. But she's not against plastic surgeries. Jennifer, please take a minute, take a beat from going to get your body taken care of and go seek a therapist. My therapist is pretty good, Dr. Elliot Connie. He's on social media. Go find him. He's a psychotherapist. You need a real trained person who can go as deep in your brain as they went in your butt. Because she needs real help. Mental health is real.
Yes, this is clearly a mental health issue.
Have you seen the video of the lady who's dealing with all the champs, all the apes?
Yeah, I didn't watch it yet, but...
She had a lot of surgery and stuff. These people look a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Get that face ate off.
Jennifer mentioned the use of PMMA, which is polymethyl methacrylate, a substance used in creating derma fillers, improving the skin's contour, or helping to fix scarring. It's also the go-to for butt augmentations. Now, its risks include inflammation, yellowing of the skin, and even death. In Jennifer's case, her infertility isn't directly linked to the use of PMMA, but her complications are believed to be associated with improper application or an adverse reaction resulting in the substance migrating from the injection site to other parts of the body, like the pelvic area, which can affect functioning of the reproductive organs. You actually woke up one day, took a picture of Kim Kardashian, and called around 411 to find a doctor who would take all your money to look halfway as good as Kim does, and then now are on the internet begging us to forgive your uterus and pray for your punani to be able to receive Cocker Spaniels and daisies so you can have babies and breed more of you into this world. We live in a world right now where we need to figure out what's going on with Kamala. Detransitioning is for Kamala. Like, we need to get your group together and donate some money to this presidential election, because at this point, there are bigger things to worry about instead of your butt. I have no empathy at all for people who do crazy things. Now, if you come out and you say, if you have mental health, I'll change my tune and I'll feel sorry for you somewhat. But at the end of the day, you literally took a picture of Kim Kardashian and went around asking people to pump you up. You got it. And now you're here asking us to feel sorry for you, but you still support. I don't know what you're talking. Please don't have no kids. Everybody don't need to have kids, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't, or at least get some help before you have kids.
That's her choice.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, take some of that $1 million that she's using to
get a surrogate.
Yeah, get a surrogate, get in vitro, whatever. Just do something to secure the future of your possibility to have a baby. Maybe you can't carry it, but there's other choices. Get you can adopt.
CAT scan?
A CAT scan.
Yeah, that's where they scan your brain.
Oh, yeah, she should do that for sure. I think she just needs to sit with a therapist, like you said, that she needs to take the mental health seriously, because you got what you wanted and now you're upset you got what you wanted. Makes no sense.
But the way you're complaining about the pressure of looking like Kim Kardashian when you spend $1 million to look like her, make it make sense. Goodbye. One of my faves is up, Jada Weta, and she's talking about her son's sexuality now. Listen. Jada, first of all, let me see. I saw a little baby went to jail. That's your baby daddy. I know y'all still be talking. I know he got caught with that gun. I saw him tell the security guard that he would give him 200,000 years to call whatever number he needed. Tell little baby, put my number in his phone the next time he's getting arrested to text me, and I will call anybody he wants for 200,000 a year. Okay? Well, we're not here to talk about that, but I know Jada's connected to the baby and she can get the message across. Well, as social media users continue to question the sexuality of Jada's 5-year-old son, Jada is clapping back. Now, Jada is the baby mom, as I told you, to Atlanta rapper Lil Baby. She's also a successful entrepreneur, and she is a black woman about town doing her thing. Well, the two share a 5-year-old boy named Loyal Armani Jones. Now, the rapper also has an 8-year-old named Jason, whom he shares with his first baby mama, Aisha Howard. Here's the baby, his sons, and Jada. So cute. And before I say anything else about baby, I actually like their relationship, because Jada does a really good job. You don't know who these people are, right?
I do know who they are. Oh, come on.
Rob deals with a different demographic. But they do a great job of co-parenting and holding each other down. And I really think they're the love of each other's life. But, you know, baby is in these trees, baby. Well, now Jada recently took to her podcast, Act Normal, and told her bestie and co-host rapper Des Dior about people bringing up her son, her 5-year-old son's sexuality. Now, on the podcast, Jada first addresses backlash over a recent campaign for her clothing brand, Way Damon. What it mean? What that mean? Anyway, I don't know. Way Damon. She then addresses comments about her son. Take a listen.
Just recently, the Way Damon campaign, I seen it was a lot of like riffraff on the internet. How did that make you feel?
Honestly, the riffraff on the internet didn't move me.
Period.
Only because I knew my intentions. And I'm reading this book, literally, and it's saying like, when your intentions are pure and your intentions are good, it's no need to clear nothing up.
Yeah.
Because I would be clearing myself on the internet for people who already think what they think. Mm-hmm. I can't change their opinions about the video that I posted.
Their perception is not my reality.
And we honestly got the concept from an old movie in the 70s. And honestly, it's another movie, Parent Trap. It's also in that movie, too. And it just was something fun. And what I hate that they try to just make it weird. It's like they do that with everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like they talk about my son's sexuality. They talk about the videos saying I was promoting molestation. Like,
and then
it's a little bit.
When people don't even realize, like, speaking on the things they be saying publicly, it's like you're the real creep
to even like look at something like that and just instantly think that way.
To talk about a child's sexuality, it's like weird.
Yeah, like a 5-year-old.
It's weird. It's so creepy. Like, y'all need to self-reflect and do some healing.
Like, it's probably like
it's honestly odd. It's kind of odd.
It's scary, but yeah, it's literally to that point. where I'm like, yeah, I just gotta pray for those type of people. Like, I pray that they find it in their heart to like understand that this is a child, and like, it's certain things that you, it's certain limits you just don't cross, or mm-hmm. certain things you just don't say. But like I said, I can't control people's perception, or mm-hmm. I can't make people say like, oh, loyal isn't this, or right. like, I can't do that. So yeah. I just fuck them. We ball.
I'm
like,
glad you don't let it affect you, because you know people yeah. get sensitive about their hell children nah. as you should.
I but know it's who like, my child is.
Period.
His dad knows who he is. Our fam, like, no one's question, worry, bother. Period.
You both look beautiful. I want to come on your podcast. I don't even know what the hell y'all be talking about, but I like Desi Duar. I actually went to her event once in Atlanta. And Desi, just so you know, I kissed somebody at your party, and they are using that thing in my campaign to gaslight homophobia. You know, I kissed that motherfucker right there in the middle of your party, because anyway, we ain't talking about right. You guys look so beautiful. I want to come on your podcast next time I'm in Atlanta. Jada knows I love her. I think it's sick to even discuss a child and sexuality together. You know, the one thing that bothers me the most, nothing ever bothers me. The one thing that bothers me the most as somebody who's been molested and somebody who advocates for young kids who've been victims of molest is the conflation of pedophilia and homophobia. It's just even the conversation of young kids and sex, I don't even feel comfortable with mm-hmm. because as a kid growing up, I never heard of sex or, you know, like, till I started getting, well, no, back up. When my mother would bring, when she was a prostitute, of course I knew sex, but like, nobody sat down or outside of the molest and talked to me about sex or talked about my sexuality, this or that. I never heard those conversations after when I was victimized. So I always, when I hear kids and sex, even when I hear kids who are in school getting sex ed, makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Is that wrong? Sex ed in school. Let's talk, before we get to this, but sex ed in school, should they have sex ed in school?
I think there should be some conversations of, I don't think it should be specific to like, too much detail about sex, the act of sex, but I think understanding who we are as like how we identify as male and female, whatever, I think that can be a conversation, but to a limit to where parents have a say in like what the conversation is with their children. Yeah. But
or even have approval. So like if yeah. it's an elective course, I need to say I consent the school to teach my kid this.
Yeah, I think
based on so. Ability to see curriculum. Do you think they should be talking about gay, trans, straight, bi, all that in school with kids?
No, I think it's unnecessary. And I think when we start to put those conversations into the mind of children, because they're not even thinking about that, they're not worried about that. But I think when we provide too much information in that direction, then it becomes a topic that they have to navigate way too early. Like, we weren't having those conversations.
We were not. Hey, listen, I know a lot of people from my community are going to be mad that I said that. That is not being anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-bi, anti-self-identification. I just don't think that kids should be having that conversation with their teacher or anybody at school outside the supervision of a parent that's going to have a lifelong responsibility to help them through that journey of what and how they identify in sex and all that. I know I may be a little off topic. I'm gonna circle all the way back, I promise, but I just got caught in that moment of feeling this overwhelming responsibility to create this dialogue. I feel like when people say, oh, they're trying to change our kids. Nah, I'm not even gonna let you do that, because nobody's trying to change your kids. Gay people, we're not sitting around talking about what your kids should or shouldn't do. However, I do feel like when it comes to the evolution of inclusion, people are just going all out. Like, let's bring it all into school now. No, I do feel like there's a time and place for all. I think that parents should have conversations about their sexuality or whatever they're going through or experiencing or evolving into with their children, absent from the school, other people, and even social media. We shouldn't be talking about a five-year-old's sexuality or a five-year-old's sexual interest, because it's five. And the idea of putting sex and five, sexuality and five in the same conversation as according to what she's, is sickening. So I circled all the way back to that, but going back to the school thing, I feel like now we live in such a hypersexual world with social media and everything. And when you're our age, you can go and have a good time. But when you are raising little kids in a world where everything is hypersexual with social media, everybody wants to have every conversation in school, and it's a lot. And I feel like we have to remember that we're talking about a five-year-old kid that needs to be able to live in a safe world of evolving into whoever they're going to be, regardless of who their parents are, whatever.
But I do, to that point, think it shouldn't be illegal if a child does come to a counselor or a teacher or somebody who they feel like is a safe person for them to talk to, and they say, hey, I have a question, I feel this is happening to me, because that kid may live in an environment or a culture at home where it's unsafe or unacceptable for them to have that conversation because their parents don't want to hear it, or have already made it clear that the idea of them being gay is bad, you know? So I don't think it should be like, the teacher should not be punished if a kid comes to them with a question, but I do think that that teacher or counselor should have a responsibility to then have a conversation with the parent and say, yeah, hey, this is what is happening with your child.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you know, some teachers in school spend more time with the kids than the parents do, because parents are at work and kids come home and then they have homework and then they have to go to bed or whatever, eat, whatever. But I feel very passionately to say that, I mean, if you are out there and you're online, be more kinder when it comes to kids. I mean, we have two rules at Hollywood Unlocked for the most part. Well, three now. Make sure that if you report somebody's dead, that they actually did. But don't attack children and don't out people. You know, it's just that we live in a cruel enough world where I feel, and the reason why I put don't attack children is because if somebody who was attacked, or not attacked, but, you know, taken advantage of as a kid and went through my own journey, I just feel like I'm going to do whatever little I can with my platform, or however big it gets, or whatever my voice, I'm going to always lean on the side of supporting, protecting children. That's just who I am and everything that I'm about. And that's all we talk about is how we can better young people's lives. But to hear Jada even having to address such nonsense, sometimes it be our people. That's the other part. You know, we got to protect ourselves. If we see people in the comments attacking someone's child, we need to be on that shit. They used to attack young Miami about how she raised her children. You know, Jada, one thing I will say I know about her, and this is not my friend, this is someone I just admire from, you know, as a young person in today's world and culture, and as a boss and as a mom, I love how she parents her children. And I feel like we need to be less attacking and more supportive of parents and their children. Now, Lil Baby having that picture with Michael Rubin at that white party where he let that white man get on his back like a backpack, y'all gonna have to deal with that at the next parent-teacher conference. But, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with the baby. All right, bye. All right, Megan Thee Stallion, she's in these streets. Well, Megan has a new boo, and they've gone public. Now, Megan Thee Stallion has soft launched her new bae, NBA player Torrey Craig. Now, she traded in. She traded. Hold on. I ain't used that bomb effect in a minute. She traded in one Torrey for another. For Tory Lanez. The one who shot his shot at her before. Last year, Megan and rapper Partisan Fontaine had a nasty, nasty split. Now, before this, she dated or was linked to artists like Moneybagg Yo, DaBaby, Trey Songz, G-Eazy, Blueface. Yeah, I remember she was linked to Blueface. He outed that right here on the Jason Lee Show. You forgot? Oh, damn. Watch this.
What did you think about his mom wanting to hook him up with Megan Thee Stallion?
What I think about it? It was a clout reach.
I already been there and done that.
Been there and done what?
Exactly.
Next question.
Are you saying you slept with Megan Thee Stallion?
Didn't say that.
Did you sleep with Megan Thee Stallion?
I don't know, but it'll really give me an inside if you do. If he did.
5 years ago, XXL freshman, like.
For real?
Jason, I did all of the stuff already.
But after her failed attempts with rappers, this year Megan said she's just gonna get up out of here because she rapped on that song Broke His Heart. She said, I'm done fucking rap niggas. We're the athletes. And after party, Megan hit up a wedding with Belgium soccer player Romelu Lukaku. And now the 29-year-old rapper has gone public with 33-year-old Chicago Bulls power forward Torrey Craig. Now here's the side-by-side of Megan and Torrey, just so we can get into their mugs. Okay. Don't they look like they could be related though?
A little bit.
Right?
Yeah. But they're a good looking couple.
Megan is so pretty. Now, Megan, I have to tell you, I've been getting a lot of reports that we are looking into at Hollywood Unlocked about you at some of these parties. I have not texted you yet. I will hit you on the side. But, you know, I just got a job to do. She soft launched this boo in a post and deleted on TikTok. She shared a couples challenge video to her story. Take a look.
Most likely challenge couples edition. Who's most likely to get arrested? who's the better kisser? Who said I love you first? Who starts the most arguments? Who needs the most attention?
Come on.
Who's the better cook? Who's the most spoiled? Who's the funniest? Who has the better style? Who takes longer to get ready?
I do.
Whose mother-in-law likes them more?
It's too soon to go public, Megan. You know this isn't gonna last. We know it. We know.
It might.
It ain't. It's not. But Megan should be able to have whatever fun she wants. Her and Party look so much better together. And he's an athlete who's all over the country, and you're a touring artist. Y'all, I'm sorry. This thing is going to go up in flames. When the last time you heard of a successful power forward? He's a power.
Sierra.
Who?
Sierra.
She's not touring.
Well, I guess. But it's an athlete and musician couple, and they worked.
And listen, I know all of you are going to be going in saying, Jason, you're a Debbie Downer, you're negative, you're hating on a black woman. I know all the stuff that you're going to say. No, I'm just predicting, because Megan allegedly still has a severe drinking problem, from what I've heard, and most recently just was involved in something that has not hit the internet yet because we're still working on confirming a couple things. But, you know, we want to let her get through hosting the VMAs before we break it, you know? And again, it's not anything that we're doing. It's just stuff that she needs to work on. This person needs healing. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I mean, I'm not in a bad place with Megan. I'm just a person with a job who says what he thinks. And I think that she needs to spend more time in a relationship with herself and her therapist, and maybe AA before this. Well, despite going viral, neither Tori or Megan have addressed their romance. So it's just a TikTok video out there where they're laying in bed and he's in the dark and they're pointing fingers about who does what better. Apparently she does everything better than him, according to that video. You don't look half as happy as you did with Partisan. So, like, what makes people go public that fast? Is it the sex?
Maybe they just feel a connection and they feel like this could be the one. But she took it down, right? I don't know.
She posted long enough for us to talk about it here. She knows what she's doing.
Of course. Of course.
Megan, by the way, your body is everything. You look so good. I've been seeing you out there and you had a successful tour. I'm so happy for you professionally. But I think personally you need some help, and I think deep down inside you have some issues that you're battling, which is why you keep hopping into these temporary relationships that end in violence and people going to prison and people rapping songs about you and you rapping songs about that. It's a lot. And I know two incidences in the last year that you outside acting out. It's just ain't nobody telling your business yet. Bye. Good luck. No, you didn't say he was Russell Wilson.
I didn't say he was. I just said, you know, a musician and athlete relationship can work.
First of all, Russell Wilson is a different type of man. Russell Wilson looked at Sierra and said, I don't care what's going on. I want you. Yeah. And he is.
I mean,
why we can't find one like that?
Exactly. Well, Megan absolutely has a type. I mean, it's clear.
Pathway to prison. Well, a lot of people say that Megan lied and Tori shouldn't be in prison, you know. Whack 100 said he got proof. I'm waiting on Whack to do what he got to do. All right. Oh, my God. Cam, my boy Cam is in the news. Cam Newton, marriage and divorce fears, baby. Cam Newton. Let me tell you something. One of the best shows ever created on Earth is Funky Friday by Cam. Cam also participated in our award show this year. Cam is a phenomenal guy, and he is better looking in person than he is. Cam looks good.
Yeah.
He's tall. And he's built. It's a big old...
And got good style. Like, he's... Yeah.
Well, some people don't like his style. I like his style. Cam is friend to, well, he hasn't friend to the show yet because he hasn't come. He's friend of Hollywood Unlocked. He's been on our award show. He's a great guy. One of my favorite interviews I ever did. I always tell people, I think we're at 2.7 million views now over at the Funky Friday podcast with Cam Newton. Well, baby. Side note, have we heard anything about Club Shay Shay? I just thought about that. Shannon Sharp has been pretty, his podcast has been pretty dead, huh?
What was the last one?
Guess he wasn't built for it.
Amanda Seals was awesome.
Oh, you missed the joke. This is why I need somebody really black on the show.
We're talking about the outfit he got. Okay, I got it. I was just a little late. It was a lag.
I know I'm funny. Okay, I don't need to be on Wildin' Out to get laughs. I said he wasn't built like that, you know?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Cam Newton has been trending all week over his controversial admissions about marriage and divorce. The NFL player turned podcaster recently revealed as a father of 8 kids by 3 different women. He wants more children, but is scared of marriage and divorce. Cam admitted this on his show Funky Friday, where he had a guest on. Her name was Dr. Cheyenne Bryant. By the way, Cheyenne Bryant, you are that girl right now. We followed you on Hollywood Unlocked. I didn't even know you were following us. You need to come over here. But I'm going to tell you right now, you come on my show and you read me. I'm going to read you back, because after I saw you on Nick Cannon's show, I was like, man, and this one, I was like, yo, I need to bring her on here to read me. But then I will have to read you, because you're just too good. And you say the truth that none of us want to hear. But that's why I love Cam so much, because he trusted you enough to come on his platform. And when I tell you they didn't edit it out, because you would have got edited over here. Dr. Bryant went on the show and she had a lot to say. Take a look.
See my situation. That's a very vague question, and it's for you.
What situation are you referring to that they're looking at and thinking is not high functioning?
Just my life.
Your life entirely, or your life in relationships?
My life.
See, don't deflect. Let's stay here. Your life entirely, or your life in relationships?
Both, really.
And they think that you're low functioning.
No, I don't.
You just said people see your life and think you're not high functioning. The opposite of that would be low functioning.
No. Okay, so here you go. You're trying to take my intentions away from this. Is can I correct it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or can I give you more?
Yeah, some more information. Heck yeah.
So, I'm not married, right? I have beautiful children.
How many?
8.
I didn't do my research. I thought it was 4, but 8. Okay.
No, baby. Cool. It's
by how 8. Many women?
3. And this is the kicker. I want more. Mm. Now.
By multiple women? What's the intent?
I just want God to bring them.
Oh, okay. And you have, so you just...
Because my point is this. My desire to get married mm-hmm. is lower than my fear of divorce. So, as you would say it, Dr. Bryant, you said it, I didn't say it, I will agree. I'm just taking my time.
You're not taking your time.
I am, though.
You're being very action-based. You're not taking your time. You're being very action-based.
I'm taking my time.
You're being very action-based. You have 8 kids with 3 different women.
Yes.
You are creating, procreating, and multiplying. That is not taking your time. You're being very selectively active.
Mm.
Okay? So you're creating,
mm-hmm.
and disclaimer, the kids are innocent. They are beautiful and amazing. Anything I say has nothing to do with them babies, because I can't wait to be a mom, and I love the kids, period. But you are proactively choosing where you want to be active at. And where you want to take your time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take your time in having a wife because of your own fears. But you will, and I say this with all respect and love, what I'm about to say next, okay, Cam? But you will selfishly create broken families, even if you're in their life and you're a proactive father, and I believe you're an amazing daddy. I can only imagine with just your presence and knowing you thus far. But these families are still broken. Every child cannot have Papa in the house with them. So some child, if not all, will end up with some kind of deficit without Daddy being there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you chose to do that. I'm not saying you sat there and woke up one morning and said, I want to be selfish today, so I'm going to go make a baby. Not saying that at all. But those are selfish acts at the expense of your fear. So at what point do you feel the fear? Do it anyways. And yeah, that is a low-functioning behavior. To say that I am going to create these homes... Oh, let me go better. I'm going to build these houses and put kids and these beautiful women and kids in them, but I ain't going to create a home in them. I'm going to wait till I dissipate my fear to find a wife where I'm still going to be fearful with, because there's no such thing as not having some type of nerve or some type of feeling behind marrying somebody who you're spending your life with. And then I'm going to build a home with her while all these other beautiful babies have houses. That's completely unfair and it's selfish.
Just tell me when I can talk.
Yeah, almost. That's completely unfair and that's selfish. And so, yes, you're taking your time in this department, but you're not taking your time in this department, which means you're compartmentalizing. And compartmentalizing never works. Compartmentalizing hurts everybody involved. Everybody who's in this box and that box and this box and that box and this box. And then here you go over here trying to figure out what box you're going to feed or entertain or do. Then you're looking outside to figure out who's your next victim to put in a box. It's unhealthy. And it's a huge dysfunction within our Black community that I truly believe personally, statistically, mental health-wise, and community-wise, that Black men would stop.
Black men would what?
Stop doing that. That they would stop that dysfunctional behavior of compartmentalizing and creating houses, not homes, mm-hmm. and then finally a home with the wife. And then you have all these other houses that are homeless. But you over here, at some point when you do get a wife, if you do, I'm saying if that's what you want, you will. You get whatever you want. You're trying to create a home. Totally dysfunctional and extremely, that's the epitome of selfish. Epitome of selfish. I'm done. You can go for
it. Okay, Celeste. All right, so what identifies as a broken home?
What you have going on with these, whoever you're not in the house with is a broken home. It's called a blended family. It's called a blended family.
That means?
That the family is blended. So blended.
So blended means broken.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're dating a man with kids. Just a scenario.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yes.
You're dating a man with kids.
Yes.
So you've identified that that's a broken home from the jump with your verbiage of blended family means broken.
I've identified that I'm dating a broken man who is creating who he is. Because we could teach what we know, we create who we are. And so broken people create brokenness, whether it's through a child, whether it's through a relationship, whether it's through themselves. It doesn't have to be a beautiful baby, but you're creating brokenness. And broken people can come from married households. I'm not saying that a two-parent household can't create the result of a child who then has brokenness and creates broken, blended families everywhere. That's I'm not negating that.
That's not my point.
No, I know. I'm making that point.
But yes. But my point.
My answer is I not only identify that those homes are houses without a home because he's not in them.
Yeah.
But also that he's a broken man.
I'll let you go. What do you think?
She gathered him so crazy. And the expression of sadness and the acceptance of what she said on his face was insane. Like when she, oh my God, she gathered him all the way together.
But I also want to say that there are generational reasons why the Black homes stay broken. And a lot of us were, you didn't come from one, but I did. And a lot of people that I know did. And a lot of our behavior is passed down generation by generation by generation. So I think what she was trying to do was address the whole issue of our broken family issue in the Black family or the Black community. Because my grandmother had 15 children by multiple men and multiple whatever. They have multiple kids and multiple men. I mean, it is what it is. But there are bigger implications of how we got there than a person just doing it. And there are different people who have different levels of fatherhood in those broken families. Hold on. I don't think you could. Because I was on a show and I actually spoke about this very issue. I have said, I acknowledge he's an active father. He's in their lives. Nick Cannon, you know, he's out dropping dick off, has 12 kids by all these different women. She went on his show and had a lot to say about that. And actually called them low functioning or low vibrating women or something. I don't know what she said exactly. Maybe we have that. Maybe not. But I think that to generalize him in totality, based on the epidemic that our culture may be going through, I don't think is fair because she doesn't know how he parents. But she's not even, from what I understand, Dr. Bryant's not even assuming he's a good or bad parent, an active or inactive parent, a present or non-present parent. He's saying if you're not in the home that you started to create with that one woman, that you then are in a broken home with a blended family. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be a bad thing because, hold on. Sierra is with a good man who has finally built a home for her family that her other man didn't. And he's actually being what looks like a more present father than her other man did. So that blended family to that broken home actually built a home that her family can identify with. So how do you take a Russell Wilson and a Sierra and not look at that and say, if she wouldn't have broke that home, she'd have been with a no shit. Hey, Future. Sorry. And not a guy who actually built a real home for her family. Go.
But I don't think that is the point she's making. I think the conversation is to the point that you made earlier, right? So we have this, I think, is becoming a problem. We have this whole culture of people who say, I want to drop off as much nut as I can in as many different people as I can so I can see my seed everywhere. But at the end of the day, when you have all of these kids who are coming home and their dad's not there, it may be a critical day in that kid's development where something really important happened to him or her at school, and they come home and they can't address that circumstance with their father because he's not there. Because
I turned out fine.
Because you did, but the idea that you had to deal with it is what she's saying. They are creating homes that are broken because the parents of that child are not there to collectively parent when that child is there. So he might be off with one of the other families at that point. It's not saying he's a bad person, but this idea that we can just like procreate wherever we want and then abandon the responsibility day to day for that child is not fair.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If I decide to go have a child by myself with a surrogate, is that a broken family? According to her definition.
No.
Now we're backtracking.
No.
According to her.
No.
Wait. According to her, if you don't have a mother and a father.
That's not what she said.
Okay, so what?
Because
I created with a donor. No, I mean, I'm the donor. Because I created with a surrogate, then it's not a broken family.
I think the idea that you have.
If you want to take time to think about your response.
I don't. Okay. No, I don't. I think the idea that you have two parents in a circumstance. They don't have to be a mom and a dad. It could be two dads. It could be two moms. Whatever it is, if you've created this unit together and then you decide to go create three more units and now you're not available to that unit, that's the conversation.
If I create a child with my surrogate and I'm in a relationship at the time because this person has identified to me that they are worthy of a lifelong partnership with me and I've identified with them that I'm worthy and together we're going to move forward and we plan. Mm-hmm. And then people change. This person changed, gets addicted to drugs. I work with them through their addiction. They don't want to change. I end that relationship and I move on for the betterment of me and my child and find somebody who mirrors the life vision for my life that I want to be with and is a good parent, co-parent to my child and now our child. That's now a blended family in a broken home.
But I think, again...
No, yes or no. It's a broken home and a blended family.
No, again, I'm saying mm-mm, I don't think it's not a
I'm sorry, I'm going to be Kamala Harris, you're going to be Donald Trump. Is it a broken home and now a blended family?
I don't think a blended family is necessarily a broken home. What I am saying is I understand what she's saying about the idea of creating multiple families selfishly. And you're not available to those families at all times because you are now splitting your time between three different families. So I don't think the idea of leaving a relationship that's not healthy is not, if you're in an unhealthy relationship, it's abusive, whatever it may be, yes, you should walk away.
Because those comments could make a woman who's in an abusive relationship right now feel guilted to stay in an unhealthy relationship for the sake of keeping a non-broken family when she's in a broken family.
But I don't think that's
broken
what she's
relationship.
Saying.
But
I
that's...
I think she
to me, those comments were, they sounded, I mean, very well put together. Her wordplay was great. She apologized kind of to not attacking whatever, even though she attacked. But I think she was responding to the attitude she thought Cam Newton was giving off, saying he just wanted to have more kids because he had 8 kids. My grandmother had 15 with multiple men in different states, where she 5 different men, I think. And she took care of all her children. They all didn't turn out, all of them didn't turn out, you know, successful or whatever. Most of them did. I think only one had a very, one or two had, well, three, had a very, had, you know, issues with drugs or battles or whatever. But all of them, for the most part, turned out fine. I don't know.
I don't think just because you have two parents in your household doesn't mean that you can't be broken by the circumstance you're in. But I think she's speaking to the idea that these men have right now where they're like, I'm going to have 3 babies over here. I'm also going to have 6 babies over here.
But I don't think he said that, though. I don't think he said, no. He said he had 8 kids.
With 3 different women, and he wants more.
But he didn't say, I want to have 3 over here. He may want more with Jazzy, who he's with right now. He may want more with her. He didn't say, I just had one with my girl, and I want to go have 3 more with somebody else.
No, but he's saying,
I think there was a lot of conflation with what is happening in the world and what's happening in that room. And I don't know. I don't see you saying you want to go leave Jazzy and go have sex with all these other people and have babies. That sounds more like Nick Cannon. But anyway, Cam's comments immediately went viral, with social users drawing comparison on his views to relationships and the marriage to the views of his current girlfriend and latest baby mom, Jasmine Brown, better known as comedian Watch Jazzy. Here's what she said in July 2022 on the Lovers and Friends podcast. Listen.
What does a submissive woman do for her man?
Everything. You know, like packing his bag, unpacking his bag, just making sure all the things that he wants. And like, I pretty much read his mind. So it's like, if I know you and I study you, like I know how you are in the morning. I know how you are about midday. I know when you're in this mood, what you need. Like before you can ever ask me for something, I'm already on it. I mean, he's spoiled. And you know, when I talk to my girlfriends about it, they're always like, oh, how are you guys doing? And I'm just like, girl, he's rotten. I'm like, he's spoiled rotten. Like, he's rotten. But I love that. Like, I want him to be that. I think my biggest flex is how I treat my man. And I've been known to love people back to health. And sometimes it's very draining. But my love is my superpower. And I used to hate that about myself. But now it's like, I'm just embracing it. Like, that's who I am. Like, if I love you, I can heal you.
It's your joy.
It is my joy. You know, I love to see him eating the meal that I cooked. I love seeing him sleep easy. Every night, like clockwork, I scratch this man's back to sleep.
I ain't gonna lie. That's a beautiful back. I would scratch it to sleep too. I ain't gonna lie. And Jazzy's such a beautiful girl. And I love the fact that Jasmine said what she said. I think there are more of you women need to honor your men. Let's talk about that. A lot of your men are trickling over here because you're not scratching their back at night. And the reality is a lot of you have let your man down, which is why they dropping D off in other places. And, you know, you don't want to have these conversations because you all are too lazy to even have that argument. Now that I've said that, I don't think she should be shamed for creating the type of environment, because Russell Wilson also gets shamed for the way he nurtures and loves on Sierra. Because a lot of you men that Rob is talking about that come from broken homes and that are lacking love mistreat your women wrong, which is why they over there at Kaylin's house. My makeup artist over there, she's a lesbian. But you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We're going to go find love in a hopeless place if you ain't taking care of home. Well, Jasmine seemingly responded to the backlash and shared this to her Instagram story. Take a look. She said, yo people really take their assumptions to another level. She also doubled down on her loving to serve comments days later. Take a listen.
As you know, Taco Tuesday is a holiday in this house. And my baby's helping me cook. We got the quesadillas, the yellow rice, the pico, the chalupas are made to order. The special tacos are made to order. Everything else here is done. Chopped up the lettuce real thin like I like it. Everything is good to go. I'm just waiting for everybody to get home so they can have a hot meal after practice. And it's up and it's stuck. Happy Tuesday, y'all.
Now that everything is done, I'm going to put my baby to sleep. I don't know about y'all. I don't know what brings you guys joy, but it really brings me joy to serve. I love being a servant. I love to serve. It just brings me joy. I love it. I love serving. I love it. I love it. I don't give a damn. I'll be up at 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, cooking breakfast, serving. I just love that. I love it. Yeah. It's like, just gives me purpose. And now with the new baby, now I just feel even more purposeful, especially like when I breastfeed. I feel so full of life. I love it. I love it. Come on, baby.
Now, she's a comedian, so I don't know if that was trolling or if that's how she really feels, because I don't think you should be calling yourself a servant, because it sounds real slavish to me, like you're in servitude to your man. And some men do want people to serve them, to wait on them. I don't want to be – I like what Jazz – I like to do what Jazzy's saying. I like to nurture and take care of a person, make sure they're good. Like, I do get off on that, and mm-hmm. I love that, but not in servitude. Where, like, I walk around day and night, Master, would you like your breakfast? Master, you want this banana? Master, could I rub you? Now, you ain't finna get all of that. And if you don't respect and appreciate the little service I am giving, you gonna get cussed the fuck out and put on a flight. But the truth is, like, I think that, like, I love the fact of her wanting to nurture and take care of her man and her family, and she has this newfound family with him, and they seem to have something working for them. I don't think that he should be judged on having all these other kids, because we don't know his relationship with all these other kids and mom, and we don't see the moms popping off on social media, so he must be doing something right. In fact, in our interview, he said, I got to get out of here and go be with my kids. So I don't want to lump him into being one of those guys, but I want Dr. Bryant to come on the show, because I have a lot to unpack with her. Now, y'all got to go see her interview on Nick Cannon show. She let Nick have it. I think some of Nick's issues came out. Mm. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it would be good to see her in action here on the show. But yeah, I don't think she was generally lumping him in. I just think it's the idea of people, you know, being selfishly creating without the concern of the who's affected by it. But I don't think he's a bad person, and I don't think she meant to make him come off as a bad person. And I also like to, like, cook for people and take care of people, so I get that energy too.
Cam, if it don't work out with you and Jasmine, Rob and I will cook for you and scratch your back before you go to bed. Let these people live, and people, stay out the comments. A lot of y'all that have all this relationship advice ain't got nobody scratching your back out at night. Scratching your back at night.
Oh,
I mean, it's true, right?
Yeah,
it's absolutely. So many unhappy single people out there giving all this relationship advice. Please just go away. Bye, Cam. It's your fine ass. All right, that's it. It's time for thoughts and prayers. First, I want to extend our condolences and send prayers all the way up for the butterfly herself, Mariah Carey, and her family in their time of need. Now, we are again reminded of how precious life is and the importance of telling our loved ones how much you love them. Although families don't always get along, we must try our best to forgive and mend relationships that we can where we can. Now, when it comes to forgiveness and Donald Trump, the jury is still out on that one. Literally. His federal election interference case is racking up more charges than he can buy his way out of, and his big fat mouth keeps writing checks that he can't cash. But after throwing all those political jabs at Kamala Harris, Trump will finally come face to face with her, and we can't wait. But he claims he's beating her in the polls, but we know who will be winning that debate. Kamala. Trump's been talking a whole lot of smack, and we want to see him back it up once faced with Madam Vice President. Will Trump be able to hold his ground, or will he get eaten up like Dr. Bryant did to my boy Cam Newton? She ate that. Cam was dodging accountability like his last name was Trump, but if he wants to live his life being fruitful with many women, that's his business and his bills. Another business we can't keep our nose out of is hot girl Megan's. Now, she done popped up with a new friend in her bed. Hey, Tori. Not that one. The other one. But as the summer comes to end, the hot girl has bagged someone just in time for cuffing season. Now, let me go do the same. That's it for this episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. We got it all out the way. It takes a village to make this show happen. I'm just letting you know. Make sure that you subscribe and follow us everywhere you can on social media, Hollywood Unlocked. At Jason Lee Show. Also, the only Jason Lee you can go find at Rob Smith over wherever he is on the internet. He don't even check his Instagram. And make sure you follow me at the District 6 page on Instagram so you can follow all of my campaign stuff. As you know, again, I'm running for Stockton City Council. And by the way, I'm dropping a new promo ad. Take a look. It's time to change City Hall. I'm Jason Lee, born and raised in Stockton. I faced challenges growing up here, and today our city is in even worse shape. I'm running for City Council because Stockton is heading in the wrong direction. Everything bad is getting worse and everything good is slipping away. City Hall can't get violence and homelessness under control. They can't even fix parks like McKinley, despite years of funding. McKinley Park is a symbol of City Hall's failure. Open-air drug deals, homeless families, and an empty pool. If they can't fix a park, how can they fix our city? Our current city council members want the title, not the work. With your help, we can reduce crime, open the promised Western Ranch Police Substation, and bring fresh ideas for our youth. We can get the homeless the help that they need while reclaiming public spaces. Let's expand the best treatment programs for addiction and mental health. We may not have all the answers, but we love our city and we will work tirelessly to solve our shared problems. If you want change you can believe in, let's fight for a stronger, safer, and better Stockton. I'm Jason Lee. Please vote for me on or before November 5th. All right, y'all, stay on it. Until then, you can text me at 310-388-6463. Again, the number, 310-388-6463. And if you love this show, it's like AA. It gets better. Just keep coming back. Peace.
The Jason Lee Podcast.